Hello and welcome to episode 40 of the Spiritual Success Podcast. Today I have Katrine from Roomflow on the podcast to talk about intentional interior design. So if you're an empath like me, if you're sensitive and if your surroundings really affect your mood, then you're going to benefit from this episode because we talk about the use of color, space and light in order to maximize the space that you're living in and working in. If you're someone who does spiritual work from home, then you'll know how important this is. I know when I'm doing readings or coaching clients, I need it to be quiet. I need it to be light, bright. I like to have my candles, my crystals, my oils, and all those lovely things to really create a space that feels like a sanctuary so that I can channel spirit and give the messages that I need to give in the best way possible. So if this sounds like something that could help you, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode. Our space is so much more than just what we live in. It is a place where we express ourselves, where we rest, where we relax, where we are social, where we work. So it's such an important thing to really think about the home that you're living in, the room that you're working from. And this episode is going to help you to do just that. Welcome to the Spiritual Success Podcast with me, Liz Roberta, a place for spiritual people who want to grow, learn, and succeed in life and a business. I'll be talking to successful spiritual entrepreneurs, authors, and thought leaders to understand what creates a meaningful and soul-aligned life. So come on in, lightworkers, this is your time to shine. Hi, Kat.
Hi, Liz.
I was just saying before we started recording that this is a topic I really know very little about. And I know I have a lot of empaths listening, a lot of sensitive spiritual people who are very much affected by their space. And that's why I wanted to have you on today to really talk about how we can maximize the space that we live in order to create a healthier environment for our energy, our soul, our mindset, somewhere that really feels like a haven for relaxation and peace and tranquility. So that's what I wanted to talk about today. But did you want to tell us first a little bit about you and your story?
Of course. I'm Kat. I'm based in Norway. And growing up, I have been battling a lot of mental issues with depression. And I have been going a lot to therapy. But I always went back to trying to fix my mood with my surroundings. So I did a lot of refurnishing in my room, but I didn't get what I actually wanted because it was my parents' space and it was somewhere I rented. So I never got to do those big changes that I really needed, but I found a little help in just changing the layout of the room and just bringing another energy into the room. And I always heard that go outside in nature because that is so good for your soul and your mental health and you will feel better. But everyone who has been through depression knows that going outside where you can potentially meet people when you're really depressed, that can be really hard. And choosing what's actually good for you can also be really hard because it's so comfort and safe in your own bed if you are depressed. And that's kind of the only place you want to be. So I wanted to do, okay, how can I lift my mood and improve my mood just by staying in my home so I can still be comfortable? When I lost my mom in 2018, she killed herself because we are both bipolar. So we have been battling it alongside each other during my whole growing up. And when she killed herself, I realized that I need to take matters into my own hands and I have to do this for myself and I have to improve my life because if not, I'm going to be battling depression for another 20 years and ending up like my mom. So I did a total 360 in my life and I started my own interior design company because that was my dream. But getting a job in interior design is not really easy in Norway. So I ended up taking random office jobs, but I never got to fulfill my destiny with interior design. So I started in 2018 and did my company and I moved into my first home all alone. And for the first time, I was actually seeing my depression going down because I finally had a home surrounded by nature and I had those big windows with a lot of daylight and I could paint my walls in the craziest colors and just go all out because no one had anything to say except me. And that's how I got into my own concept, which is intentional design. And I want to help others get that same thing, that it's not always possible for us to go out in nature and get that refill that we need. So why can't we take what we know about nature and bring that inside so we can make our home actually support us and help us focus on where we want our focus to go?
That's an incredible story. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. And when you created this idea of intentional design, what was your inspiration for that? Is it your own concept? Is it a concept that already exists in the interior design world? How did you come up with this idea and this name that's influenced your work so much?
It's my own concept. I took it from the word intentional because I have been doing a lot of courses on how to be a better person and how to have that intentional planning for the day, how to set the intentional moods in the morning with routines. And so I noticed that intentional is what keeps coming up. If you want a happy life, there's intentional this and intentional that, and no one talks about the environment except for nature. And I was like, it's our home. It's where we spend so much time. So why aren't this intentional word coming into our home and into interior design? Because interior design is only driven by trends. And we are so many different people. We are so unique. So why shouldn't our homes be just as unique as we are?
I love that so much. And obviously, you're from Norway, and I have a dear friend in Norway as well. So shout out to Carrie if you're listening. I've been to Norway myself, and I know that obviously there's a big kind of design culture, and with the whole Nordic region as well, the country surrounding it has influenced this whole section of interior design, this kind of Nordic look. So how would you say that being Norwegian and living in Norway has influenced your style and your design?
I'm not really sure it has. I feel like the design, furniture designs are absolutely putting Norway on the map. But I feel like maybe we use nature more in Norway, that we have a closer connection to nature, as we have everything. We have everything from the tall mountains to the sea, to the forests and the beaches, and so we kind of have access to all kinds of nature, and it has absolutely affected our choice of materials, but I'm not really sure how much it has affected my style, because my picture of Nordic design, it's pretty safe, it's pretty sleek, and it's not really throwing in colors or having a wow factor. It's pretty safe choices. I hope I'm not stepping on any toes. But I feel like it's a good base with the Nordic design. It's a good way to start, but I want to push it a little farther and make it stand out a little more and make it more risky. Yeah.
That's so interesting. And you said before about how you were going through this really dark time, you decided to do what you loved. So I'd imagine that you're quite tuned in to creating a space that supports your mindset and your mental health and your mood. And I know that I'm someone who is so affected by my space and my surroundings. I need sunshine. I like to have everything white and light. I like to have beautiful designs on the walls. And I need a little bit of space and room. I'm not someone that can be, you know, in a really cramped space. I had a big decluttering in the year of 2018, where I spent the whole year just selling everything off one by one on Facebook Marketplace and eBay and recycling it. And I'd drive like 45 minutes to donate some bedding to a dog shelter, and every single piece I wanted to get rid of as sustainably as I possibly could, because I needed the space. Like, I just felt like it weighed on my heart, on my mind, on my soul, having all this extra stuff that I didn't need and I didn't use and I didn't love. So I'd love to dig a little bit deeper into how you think our space, so that includes the colors, the items that we have around us, affects our mindset. What have you found for you personally, and of course in your business, the effect that our space can have on our mood and our mindset?
So we all have triggers on how we are affected by colors, materials, and things. And I want us, when we decorate a room, not just focus on what we like. And so often I see people taking everything they like into a room, and it's together, it looks all wrong. So that's where I want to be intentional with your choices, that you choose one mood for one room. Don't blend in all kinds of moods, because one thing might give you energy and one thing might slow you down. And if you have that in the same room, that will mess with your brain. So it's the same way as distractions. If you have distractions in the room, that's going to mess with your head, and you're going to feel overwhelmed during the day because you get all these impressions around you and your mind is trying to work through it. But instead, you're sending it 5 different messages in one room, and that leads to stress and overwhelm. And instead, just narrow it down to, what kind of mood do I want here? What am I actually using this room for? And intentionally, just notice how things affect you and use it for your own benefit. Because that will lead to less stress, and it can improve your focus. It's like when I started working from home with my interior design, I was sitting on the dining table. I was looking at the kitchen, I was looking at the couch and the TV. And at the kitchen, I saw the dishes that needed to be taken, and the table was full of other things that I was supposed to focus on. And I was telling my brain, every time I looked up from the computer, I was telling my brain, oh, look at that. Oh, you need to do this. So my brain got overflow of impressions, and it led me to not being able to focus on what I wanted. So right there is what happens if you're not intentional, and if you don't open your eyes to how does your environment affect you and your mood as well.
Such good things you mentioned there, and definitely I can feel that too. Like when the house is a mess, I just can't stand it, because I look around and like, right, I need to do that, I need to do that, I need to do that. And I get it coming back from holiday as well. If I come back and it's a bit of a mess and the dishwasher needs empty, I come back and I just feel stressed, like there's too much to do. It's like a to-do list that I can see around me. It's not written on paper. It's all the things which are out of place and need to be done. So I resonate so much with that. And this leads me nicely into my next question, because I wanted to talk specifically today a bit about Zen, because I know this is something that a lot of people in the spiritual community connect with, creating a space that really is a peaceful sanctuary, especially for the people who work from home, like I do, like you do. People who are doing spiritual work will often have a specific space in their home. Like for me, it's my office that I'm in right now. I have crystals, I have candles around me, oils and inspirational quotes and all those kind of things, and creating a space which really feels like a sanctuary where they can perform their Reiki sessions with clients, do their coaching, do their writing, whatever it may be, but really creating that space intentionally in their home for them to do spiritual work. So can you tell us what Zen actually is? What does it mean to have a Zen home or Zen design?
So Zen is kind of personal as well. It doesn't have a lot of rules, but it's 3 things Zen space will give you, and that's harmony, balance, and relaxation. And so it depends on what gives you harmony, what's balance for you, and what's relaxation for you. But just like in color therapy, there's sort of a ground rule, and it can vary depend on your triggers. So the easiest way for a Zen is to go back to nature and bring in organic materials and natural materials and colors. That's the easiest way to get a Zen space, because it's all about the 4 elements. If you bring in candles and maybe some water, that can lift your Zen.
Okay, so there's the 4 elements. So water, air. What would you recommend for air? Is there anything that we could bring in for that element?
I would say having a fresh feeling in the room. So before you use the room, preferably air it out. So you change the whole air inside the room and bring in new energy. If you have a client and you're having a new one in short after, shift out the air.
Okay, great. And then fire, obviously candles, earth would be plants and things like that.
Yeah.
So it's about having those elements in the room. Is there any way that we can use the space to create a more zen environment? Is there any particular way that things should be laid out in certain corners, things like that?
Not that I know of. I haven't really gone very deep on zen design, but I think that's more feng shui. That's when the placement of things after north, south, east and west, that's more in feng shui. But correct me if I'm wrong, anyone out there?
No,
I'm not quite sure about this.
That's fine. That's so fascinating, so interesting to know. And I think you made a good point about bringing in the air and the energy of the space. And that's really what all of this is about, is creating that feeling. How do you feel when you're in that space, and how can you use the space to create a zone where you feel uplifted and peaceful and relaxed? Because you don't want to be coming home from a busy day at work. For people who don't work at home, don't want to come home from the office, stressful day, and then come back to a home that's stressful. And like I said before, especially for people who are doing spiritual work from home, it's just essential to have a space where you really feel like you can connect and be at peace, so that you can help other people to be at peace with the work that you're doing. So I wanted to ask a question, because I know that there'll be people listening who maybe have left their full-time job and are building a business, or who are maybe living at their parents' house, and for whatever reason they have a very small space to work with at the moment. So they might be in a house share with just one room, they might just have a bedroom of their own, or maybe a studio flat or a small flat. And I know when you're in a small space, like I have been in a room in my parents' house when I was doing my master's degree, and even the last flat that we lived in was a very small flat. And I know that for me, I really struggled being in a small space, because I had all of my things. And even after I'd done my decluttering in 2018, all the stuff that I still had felt like a lot when I was in a small space. So do you have any advice for people who are living in a small space for how they can use that space effectively to create a kind of peaceful, zen-like environment?
First of all, if you have one big room, like a studio home, a studio apartment, I would recommend turning it into areas and zones and divide it up. And you don't have to have a wall between you and other space to leave that energy out. You can just turn your back to it. So be very aware of what you see when you look up, and what's on the left side, what's on the right side, and what's in front of you. Don't think about the things that's behind you, but bring in front of you all the things that will help you and support you in your focus, and put the distractions behind you. That's what I would say is the most important thing. And as I said, I was working from my dining room, and I still had to work from my dining room, even though I was aware that I was looking at the kitchen, I was looking at the TV and thinking of completely other things. But just the power of turning around, it was enough. It wasn't about doing this big change. You can just sit on the other side of the table and that can change a whole lot for you. So,
wow, I'd never even thought of that. So that's such a good point. And I know using light as well, like, for example, the office I'm in right now, I have my window in front of me so I can look out. Not that there's much of a view, but I can look outside, and then I have the light for filming, because this is where I do my filming and things like that. So yeah, the positioning of where you are without getting rid of anything, having all the same amount of things in the room, just positioning yourself differently gives you a whole new perspective. So that's such a good point that you made there. The next question I have, you touched on briefly color therapy, and you talked about working with bright colors earlier. So not everyone can paint their room. Obviously, if you're living in a rented place, then you know you're not going to be able to paint the walls necessarily. But I'm just interested to know a little bit more about this and about the impact that color has, because you mentioned that you like bright colors and color therapy. So can you talk a little bit about the different colors and how they affect our mood when they're in our home?
Absolutely. And first of all, you mentioned that not everyone could paint their room. I surround myself with bright colors on my flowers and my things. It doesn't have to be this big surface for it to affect you. So there's a lot of things to consider when it comes to colors, because there's blue, green, red, yellow, and so on, the division of colors. But there's also, with coloring, you can have more black in, you can have more white in. Some colors are more bright, like this shirt I'm wearing, as blue is usually a relaxing color, but when it's so colorful like this, it brings up your energy. So this is not a relaxing blue. Maybe I shouldn't talk about that so no one can see my shirt. So the high energy colors, if you don't consider the amount of black and white in it, it's yellow, orange, and red. That's the high energy colors, and the low energy colors are green, blue, and brown. And obviously black and white doesn't count as a color, so it doesn't really give you anything. That's why I'm not recommending that as a base color, unless it's as a background for a lot of colorful arts or other things that will affect you. And the high energy colors, that's where your eyes are drawn first. So that will be the thing your eyes see first. So having red, orange, and yellow in your surroundings, it should be used in a way that this is where I want my eyes to go first. So if you have a small space and you can't really make big changes in the colors, then okay, make sure you choose those high energy colors around the things that actually supports you, and you can use low energy colors on the things that you can't really make disappear, but you want them to be sort of out of sight. Then you can use the low energy colors, and the high energy colors will bring up your energy. It will make you more alert, and that's why it's great to use in a space where you have an activity or you need to be alert and focused and not relaxed.
I know that I talk about colors sometimes with my clients in terms of branding, because the colors that you use for your branding really set the tone. So I know that purple is obviously associated with spirituality, white is associated with the divine and light. So yeah, it's really interesting to hear how it all carries over to interior design, because color is such an important messenger in a way. I mean, it's not words, but you still get a lot just from color and the different meanings. So it's really interesting to learn how that plays into human design as well. So thank you for that. And
also I wanted to tap onto that, because color therapy is more used in the way that you talked about it. It's not actually talked about color therapy inside interior design. So I've actually just taken what I've learned on how colors should be used in branding and taken that and made it into interior design. So yeah, if you disagree with what I say, of course it's about triggers and people. But yes, that's the color therapy, what you already know. That's what I know as well. And I just implemented it into intentional design.
I know what you mean, because for example, red, you can think passion, love, Valentine's Day, romance, heat. Or you could think red, danger, anger, warning sign. So like even the colors themselves, they have opposing meanings sometimes. So of course, people are going to have different associations with different colors. So yeah, it is subjective as well. So really, really good point. And you mentioned earlier about how, you know, you really got into this when you were in a bad place and struggling with low mood and bipolar and coping with the grief from losing your mother. So for people who are feeling really, really unhappy in their home space, do you have any tips or advice that you could give them? Maybe anything that you learned when you were in that place and you decide to decorate your space in a way that would help to support you in that time? Do you have any tips or advice for people who are struggling in their space?
First of all, I would say that daylight is the most important thing. Like you said, you want the white and the light. And absolutely, that is the best resource to bring your mood up. And I was growing up in, I had the attic when I was little. And then when we moved, I got the basement that was underground. And for me, that was definitely the biggest contribution for my low energy all the time. That was the darkness, and I didn't have the opportunity to put in bigger windows or bring in more daylight. So if you're in a space that has small amount of daylight, I would absolutely recommend using the little daylight you have and make conscious choices on the materials you use, where the daylight hits, so you can use the room to bounce the daylight around in the room. Because I had dark panel and wood just absorbs the light, it doesn't reflect it. So if I had been living like that now, I would definitely make some choices, maybe put up a mirror behind me right over the window so you get the light reflected in the mirror. That's a great way to do it. And also use hard and smooth surfaces that will also bounce off the light. And also the colors, because I was in a dark place. I felt really comfortable in the darkness and in the dark colors. I was gothic. I was dressed in black. I absorbed the black because that fitted me inside. But just if I was to do this all over again, I would absolutely just push myself out of the comfort zone, bring in the bright light, bright colors, just so my mind could shift for me when I didn't have the strength to go into myself and change. Then my eyes and my brain could do it for me, because the brain reads the environment and it affects us whether we want it or not. So if you're unhappy in a space, I would suggest you find out why. What does your surroundings wake up in you? Find out what would make you smile, even though feeling like smiling is not really a thing. I would just sort of push yourself to find a reason to smile through your environment. Bring out the things that makes you smile, even when you're at your worst. Be conscious.
Such good advice. And I guess that's what intentional interior design is all about. And I know what you mean about the colours when you're depressed, because when I was depressed as a teenager, I remember being at a beach party and I was probably about 15 or 16. I was really, really depressed. And I remember looking down and I was wearing a grey jumper, a grey belt, grey skinny jeans and grey plimsoll trainers. And I realized I was dressed completely. I had a gray bag as well, a gray little bag. And I was dressed head to toe in gray, like a gray cloud. And I felt like a gray cloud. And you really do dress to match your mood. And same, I was gothic for many, many years. And it's because I was depressed and in a bad place. And like you said, you know, just felt comfortable in black. Whereas now, and it's interesting because when I was a little girl, I was obsessed with pink. Everything had to be pink. Absolutely everything had to be pink. Like I wore a pink whistle around my neck. I had a pink t-shirt, pink shorts, pink jelly shoes. Everything had to be pink. My room was pink. Then as an adult, pink again is my favorite color. Obviously I don't have everything pink like I used to, but it is my favorite color again. Whereas when I was a teenager, it was gray, blue, black. So it's so funny how your color tastes change based on your mood. And that again applies to both what you wear and the colors that you surround yourself with in your home. So yeah, really, really good points there. I can totally resonate with that.
And still I see that people are not comfortable with showing themselves in their interior because they might love a bright color or a lot of colors, but I don't really... It's pretty seldom I see people using it in their interior. They might use it in the clothes, but in their interiors, they are so afraid of making the wrong choice or how it will look because it's so big surfaces. It's not just a sweater or a shirt. It's an entire room or an entire wall, or that couch that costs so much money, so you can't really just throw it away if you get tired of it, because it's probably expensive and people tend to keep their stuff longer than they keep their clothes. So I wish people would be more daring and daring to do the wrong choices, or maybe just ask someone who is a professional. I really want to do this way out of my comfort zone choice, but I'm not really sure if that will work. So just ask someone professional. I wish people would dare a little more.
So is that what you find then, that people usually hold back with their use of colour?
Absolutely. Especially in Norway, I feel like it's more, people are taking more risks in other countries, but in Norway, I don't see it very often.
So interesting. So do you work with clients just in Norway, or can you work with people all over the world using, say, Zoom as an example?
I can do all over the world. I'm focusing on Norway right now because I've just started and I just want to build up first. But I have been working with someone in India and Australia before I changed to Norway. So I'm absolutely digital. So yeah.
Because that must be really interesting as well, because I imagine people in different cultures have different colour preferences. Because I know, for example, in England and America, we use white for weddings, black for funerals. Whereas I think it's in India, they use white for funerals and a different colour for weddings. I think someone is going to correct me on that probably, but I know the colours mean different things in different cultures, because different countries wear different colours for weddings, funerals, good luck, and things like that. So it's really interesting. And I imagine when you're working with people in different countries, that colour preference can be different as well.
Yeah, I thought I would have to completely shift the way I work when I worked with those in other countries, but I found it pretty similar, very much more similar than I expected. But I think that I'm always prepared that it was going to be completely different, because our culture is so different. So absolutely, I think it will be a factor sometime, but it hasn't actually been yet. So it depends on the person you meet. And just like culture, people are different. So my process is, it can work with anyone, because it's about you, no matter your culture or your relation to things. I'm digging deep in you when I do the discovery calls and before I dive into the projects. So I think it's going to be okay.
So do you do some work beforehand trying to figure someone out? Do you tell me about your interior design process and how you figure out what that person might like for their interior design?
First of all, I ask, I have a list of questions, so it's kind of like an interview I start with. If I'm having trouble reading the person based on the video call, I get them to send me pictures, like inspiration they find online, or if they have a decorated space in their home that they love, I get them to send me a picture of that. And also the things they want to keep or the things they want to base their interior design on. All those things that will impact the room, I get them to send pictures of that. But preferably is, I like to do a sort of a tour of the house on video. So they just film themselves going through their home, so I can get a big picture of how does it look there? What kind of people is living here?
And how long do you normally work with someone for?
Well, that's very independent, depending on the size of the project, because someone just wants one mood board for one room, and that's 1 hour work, and then I'm done with them. And someone wants me to renovate a complete house, and that can take months. And so it depends on if it's local or digital, because in digital, I'm not a part of the change process. I just give them the product they need to do the job for themselves. while doing renovations locally. That's basically managing the whole project with the builders, the painters, and everyone. And that's, I'm sort of a project leader, and that can take a lot longer time.
So what's your favorite thing about doing this work? Because you said, you know, you haven't always done this. You've been doing it for the last few years. What is your favorite thing of all about doing intentional interior design?
It's the creative planning part. I love that. And getting to know my clients and bringing out the happiest side of them, sort of tapping into what happy looks like and bringing that into their home and seeing their transformation when they get the personal space they want. It's the best feeling, just seeing the smile and the wow in their faces when they see their space transformed. It's magic.
So where can people find you? This has been absolutely incredible. You shared so many good tips, amazing wisdom, and great advice. So where can people find you and how can they work with you?
Oh, thank you. I had an amazing time here. And I have a webpage. It's roomandflow.no. Or you can find me on Instagram. It's roomflow.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Kat.
Thank you, Liz.
Thank you for listening to this episode, and please remember to subscribe to this podcast. I'm sure that, like me, you would love for more people to know this information. So if you leave a review and send me a screenshot of it on Instagram, which is at I Am Ms. Roberta, you'll get a $50 voucher code to use on one of my online course launches. This won't be around forever, so go and leave a review now, and I'll see you next time.